Money FM 89.3, best of breakfast. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3 with Adrian Abraham and Lindley Fu. Time now for Why It Matters, and it's all about tobacco today. Cigarettes are now more expensive in Singapore after Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister Lawrence Wong announced that tobacco taxes will increase by 15%. This was during Budget 2023.
Tobacco taxes in Singapore have not been raised in half a decade, with the last increases in 2014 and 2018. These two increases were also relatively modest at just 10% each.
But the latest tax increase is expected to generate an additional $100 million in revenue each year, but beyond providing a boost to the economy. Will the tax increase help to lower the smoking prevalence in Singapore? Well, joining us on the line to tell us more about the matter is Yvette van der Eyck, Assistant Professor at the Saw Swee Hock School of Public Health at the National University of Singapore. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Morning, Yvette. The 15% tobacco tax hike in Budget 2023, really, it is simple economics. The higher the taxes, the more consumption goes down. But how do you think the tax policy can be sustained?
Yeah, so typically when we raise tobacco taxes, for every 10% we raise the tax, tobacco consumption will go down by an average of around 4%, right? Mm-hmm. So this 3% increase is expected to have an impact. But the thing is, you know, if we raise the tax, say, once, what happens is consumers gradually start getting used to the higher prices, which is why it's important to keep repeating these tax increases if we want to see a meaningful public health benefit. So ideally, taxes like this should be raised every year or so.
According to the Ministry of Health, daily smoking has been hovering around 10% in recent years. How sensitive are consumers to price changes? I mean, we're also tackling the rising cost of living, but is raising taxes really an effective way to make people stop smoking?
It's definitely an effective way to bring down tobacco consumption. And yes, there are those who are going to be more sensitive to the price increases who will then also be motivated to quit. So for instance, as I mentioned earlier, you know, for every 10% we increase tobacco tax, consumption will go down by around 4%. But actually that figure varies depending on who we're talking about. So we know, for instance, that young people and people on a lower income tend to be more sensitive to these price increases because they have less disposable income. So, for example, young people, they are typically twice as sensitive mm-hmm. to these price increases as adults. So we would expect more of an impact on that segment. And also, you know, and nowadays, especially with the price of things going up, people are looking for ways to cut down their spends. So we would expect the tax increase to have even more of an impact in this kind of climate.
So when tobacco taxes increase, instead of quitting, some of the more price-sensitive smokers may turn to a cheaper brand. Can Singapore maybe look at what other countries are doing? Let's take a look at maybe Australia, where tobacco taxes include a fixed amount per cigarette and additional percentage of the retail price. What can we learn from that?
Yeah, so sometimes what happens is when we have a tax increase like now, 15%, what happens is that the tax increase isn't applied equally to all the different brands. So the tobacco companies, what they sometimes do is they offset some of the price increases onto the higher price brands so that those expensive brands become more expensive mm-hmm. and then the brands, they stay similar in price. And that's because the cheaper brands tend to be used more by those price-sensitive consumers, right? Those on a lower income, for instance. So then they're not as affected by the tax increase. So if a tax policy were designed such that, say, you know, like in Australia, what they do is there's a certain amount, like a fixed amount that has to be applied to each brand. And that way, all of the brands become more expensive. And therefore, those more price sensitive consumers will be more likely to quit rather than shifting to another brand.
Yvette, over the last few years, we've also seen policies that have involved raising the minimum legal age of smoking to 21 years, plain packaging as well to reduce marketing appeal and prohibiting smoking in more public areas. But how much of an impact have those moves had compared to, you know, actually raising taxes on tobacco?
Yeah, so those policies I would describe as more of a slow burn approach and also as the kind of policies that tend to work in concert. And typically tobacco policy is designed in this way, right? I mean, there's no magic bullet that will eliminate smoking overnight. It's really about having multiple policies working together in concert to bring down smoking rates over time. So like what you've described, the minimum legal age, raising it to 21, that's more of a measure that targets youth smoking, expanding the amount of smoke-free places we have to, say, national parks and beaches. That's a way to protect people from secondhand smoke and also to denormalize smoking, right? Make it less of a thing that we see when we're out and about. And then tobacco taxes is also a measure that complements all of these. And tobacco taxes, I would say, is more targeted to current smokers, but also youth, because, you know, these young people, as I mentioned, they're quite sensitive to price increases because they have less income. So then they're less likely to pick up smoking or to continue smoking if they've tried it already.
As you mentioned, price sensitivity, it varies between different age and income groups. Studies from Australia, the United Kingdom, United States found that low-income individuals are twice as sensitive to price increases in tobacco. Tell us, how relevant are these studies, you know, in the Singapore context?
Well, typically what we find is that people's sensitivity to tax increases and the kind of people that are more sensitive than others, these patterns are pretty consistent across most high-income countries. So high-income countries like the ones you've mentioned, and Singapore also falls under that category. So actually in Singapore, yeah, we see patterns that are fairly consistent, and the price sensitivity seems to be somewhat similar as well.
You know, we talked about $100 million in revenue every year, right? But one way to look at it is to perhaps earmark some of the tobacco tax revenues and channel that to help those who are motivated to quit. I mean, let's take the Philippines, for example. 85% of the sin tax is funded back into healthcare. Can Singapore progressively implement a similar approach?
Yeah, and I think that's actually very important that we do that because currently in Singapore, yeah, it's true that the tobacco taxes aren't really earmarked to any health programs, including tobacco control. But actually, when we raise taxes, you know, we do see a pretty steady drop in tobacco consumption, which means that there are smokers out there who are trying to cut down or even thinking about quitting. And quitting is extremely difficult, right? I mean, in a typical quit attempt, only around 5% of quit attempts are successful. And we also found that in Singapore, actually quite a few smokers have an intention to quit at some point, over half of them actually. And around a third on average do try to quit in any given year. But most of these quit attempts ultimately fail. So they do need help. So I do think it's important to invest more in these quit programs, especially around the time that we implement policies like tobacco taxes.
What kind of quit services would you be suggesting or recommend for those who are motivated to quit?
Yeah, so evidence-based smoking cessation options at the moment include nicotine replacement, not in the form of vaping, because that one does come with some real health risks. And also its efficacy isn't really been very well demonstrated against nicotine patches. So the gold standard remains nicotine patches, lozenges, inhalers, those kind, those over-the-counter can, right? There are certain medications that can help smokers, like varenicline. And then along with counseling, behavioral counseling, to try and manage certain triggers when they're going to get cravings, things like that. Gathering support from the family can also help.
So we did say how, you know, with the rise of cigarette prices, people would tend to downgrade, but also switch to possibly vaping as well. We've seen a rise in that, even though it's illegal. So are we going to see more of that happening rather than actual tobacco smokers and switch all their attention to vaping?
Well, the thing about vaping is, yeah, I mean, globally speaking, we have seen more of a rise in vaping because they've been quite aggressively promoted by the industries. And I mean, even in countries like Singapore, where vaping is banned, where it's legal, we have seen a rise of it in recent years, you know, because of the illicit market. So I do think that a lot of it will depend on how well the ban here is enforced. Because, I mean, having the law is one thing, but really actively enforcing it, educating people on why it's there is quite another. And I think in Singapore, that is a gap. Still, I think one important gap especially is educating people on why the ban on vaping exists. I mean, a lot of people seem to believe that vaping is quite harmless when in fact it's not. You know, they're not really aware of what goes in vapes, what goes into these e-liquids and how it affects their bodies. Whereas it does come with real health risks, for instance, cardiovascular disease risk, risk of respiratory injuries. Those are risks that are already documented.
All right, Yvette, thank you very much for your perspectives. We've been speaking to Yvette van der Eyck, Assistant Professor of Saw Swee Hock School of Public Health at the National University of Singapore. Thank you.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.